Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Mr. Scott Reynolds, longtime publisher of Pewter Report, and Trevor Sycamo, who we can't even joke about being man bun. We can't even joke about being burrhead anymore. We're just going to call him Trevor the Handsome Devil Sycamo.
Yeah. Wow.
He's a good-looking man.
It's a good-looking haircut, too, right now.
It's looking great.
It's really looking good.
All right. I'm about to get the SmackDown laid on me somewhere in this podcast because you guys never open up being nice to me. So.
Well, in all seriousness, I was watching you this weekend. You did a tremendous job in Tennessee, by the way. I just want to let
on
you
News
know
Channel
that.
I
appreciate it.
News Channel 8.
Our partners.
Official TV station of the Buccaneers.
And PewterReport.com.
And PewterReport.com.
Does that make them a Pewter partner?
Now, I will say, though, the shiny shorts you're wearing today, they were a little blinding.
They're a little reflective.
Listen, man.
And they're a little loose right there, too. If maybe you could maybe just swing your leg around the other way, that would be great.
Nah, you got the best view.
I'm glad this is audio and not video. Oh, boy. Anyway, all right, Trevor, thank you for that. I'm totally thrown off now. I don't know. I'm in a mood for a pack of certs right now. What about you?
You set yourself
a pack
up,
of lifesavers right now,
Scott. Set yourself
up. Yeah, I did.
Can't dish it if you don't.
Am I blushing? Anyway.
You're just a ginger.
That's true. Sunburned ginger. It was hot today, fellas.
Yeah.
Brutal. I told Scott today at one point, Trevor, I wouldn't be surprised if three players just went up to Dirk and said, I'm out. I quit.
I felt like the tempo was a lot slower today.
Yeah.
Right? It's Monday.
Yeah.
It was hot. First practice after a game,
mm-hmm.
midway through like preseason now. It's like, all right, we got it. Let's just get the couple preseason games over with so I can not get hurt and get a game.
It's definitely in the
The dog days, man.
Where did that phrase come from?
I don't know, but it
dogs are really lazy in the summertime.
Do dogs like summer?
They just lay around.
I don't know if they like summer or not, but
no,
I mean,
they hate it. It's hot.
It seemed to me like today's practice was reminiscent of how Ronald Jones runs in games.
Easy.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Starting off with the
just
shots.
Kinda, just kind of slowing down a little bit.
My gosh.
Ronald Jones, the centerpiece of the rookie training camp diary?
I love him. I love Rojo. We have yet to see what Rojo can do.
You said earlier you're going to stop calling him Rojo until he shows something.
Well, I'm not officially going to call him No Show yet.
Ooh, ouch. No Show Jones.
And listen, I've got all the confidence in the world in this kid. You know why? Because we see what he does out here at practice. And granted, this is not full speed, right, Trevor? I mean, it's kind of...
It's not full speed, Scott.
Semi-tempo out there. Maybe it would help if they went full speed in practice so he could actually have a look at what he's going to see in game
well,
situations.
Well, then, you know, maybe they'd beat people to angles first half of the games.
Yeah.
Quan, Justin Evans.
He's not the only one that I think shows well out here in training camp, but hasn't really translated that to the game yet. I think O.J. Howard's another one where O.J. has looked dominant out here in most of training camp. And then, you know, he had a couple of drops. Wasn't terribly focused, I didn't think. We have yet to see the best of O.J. Howard. We have yet to see the best of Ronald Jones.
I don't want to call Ronald Jones scared.
Tentative.
Derek Fournier tentative. Of What the Buck Will. I asked him about Ronald Jones today, and he said he's scared of contact. He said a lot of rookie running backs come into the league,
and
they want to try and bounce everything outside.
Expect a hole.
Right. They're not willing to make a hole.
Yes.
I can't disagree with Derek when he says that. I guess you're right. Rookie running backs, man, you're used to in college football. And that's a danger of, you know, because we do a lot of NFL draft stuff, too.
Yep.
And we're scouting running backs. And it's like, okay.
Wide hash marks in college.
Right. And, like, for example, this upcoming year, Bryce Love, the guy from the running back from Stanford.
Yeah.
Miles Gaskins, he's the running back from Washington. Justice Hill, he's the running back from Oklahoma State.
Yep.
These are all like smaller backs who
not
have a
make
ton of production because they can bounce
it
outside whenever they want.
Yeah.
And I think you're noticing from Ronald Jones a little bit, he's just used to being able to bounce to the outside. We know he can run through the tackles. We saw it at USC.
Right.
But he was just so much more confident in his college
tape
than what he is.
There were a little
now.
Bit more of a hole there. Now, Derek said that he looked back at it, and I know, Trevor, you mentioned that's going to be the subject of your new Cover 3.
Correct.
Where you're going to break down what the running lanes were probably and where the holes were and what he did right and what he did wrong. But Derek said there's some holes there when you go back and look at it. You know, from the naked eye just watching it, it doesn't appear that there's a lot there. But, you know, one of the things Dirk Cutter loves about – Peyton Barber is, and we've said it before, he turns a two-yard run into a four-yard run into a six.
And that's the thing, and that was even last year, right? Okay, well, it's Doug Martin and Peyton Barber, and even I was a little bit like, Yeah, I mean, Doug Martin's gotten a little unlucky here and there. There's just not really holes for him to run through. But there comes a time now where it's like, okay, well, Peyton Barber gets positive yardage every time he touches the ball.
That's right.
So why can't other running backs do that?
Yeah.
It's the same offensive line. If it happens to over and over and over and over again, it's not just the lanes are there or the lanes aren't.
If you go back to that Detroit Lions game, right, when Doug Martin got the start, even though he didn't deserve it, and Peyton Barber ended up coming in as the second running back and having more carries in that game and more yardage as a result.
He's just better.
It was the same offensive line. It wasn't like they blocked bad when Doug was in. It was the same in part.
You know,
Peyton Barber just made
those
yards.
Those things juice up offensive lines to a degree, too. You know what I mean? They know they're not going to be perfect, but if they see a guy put their head down, which you can't do in the NFL
it's
anymore.
It's self-preservation, too, because if Peyton Barber is going to put his helmet in your back because there's no hole, then you have all of the incentive in the world. And listen, that's going back and talking to guys like Jorge Diaz and Tony Mayberry. There was a big difference between blocking for Warrick Dunn and blocking for Mike Allstott back in the day.
You know, when I played high school and even youth football, the coaches used to say, if there's no hole there, run right up the guard's back.
They'll
be out of the way. They will create a hole next time.
Yes.
You know, you go to where your hole is and you run
through
it.
Some of those, and we probably should have asked Ian Beckles this, who's on our last podcast, but those offensive linemen told me they liked blocking for Warrick better than Mike because they didn't have to have as much of a hole.
Right.
Because Warrick would just squirt right through and make something happen between the tackles. With Mike, if there wasn't a hole,
he would just pound him.
You would have, the A train coming right up
your
spine.
Right.
And that's not fun. So, yes, when it was a fullback dive play or a power play, yes, Tony Mayberry had a little bit of extra giddy up on those blocks when he knew Mike was getting the ball.
Sure. And, and I think we've said this before on the podcast, but again, another thing from the high school days, coach used to tell the running backs all the time, get me 2 yards, don't lose me 4.
That's right.
And we saw Doug Martin a lot of times last year, instead of just taking the 2 yards, lose 4 yards.
Too much
Ronald
dancing.
Jones, 4 carries, 2 yards was his production the other day.
Well,
so
he
probably could have gotten 8 yards on those carries if he just would have went to the hole.
I think what you're
going to
see, Trevor, when you watch this film, is Ronald Jones, when he gets to, if it's a stretch play, his own play, when he gets to where the hole should be and there's not, he stops his feet. He stops his feet for a second and looks.
You cannot.
I don't even
do
know
it.
If he stops his feet yet. So, I haven't looked at the film too in depth. I'm just obviously watching the game live. I don't even know if he stops his feet. I just think, he looks, and if it's not there, he just has no problem keeping going to the outside.
Right.
Whereas in college, the closer you get to the boundary, the better chance you have it outrunning people. In the NFL, the closer you get to the boundary,
those corners
the better chance
down.
That you're going to have of running out of that boundary.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think the beauty of this, if I'm Tim Spencer and I'm the running backs coach of the Buccaneers, is Peyton Barber is all the film that Ronald Jones needs to watch. It's
right
watch,
now,
this
for
run,
sure.
watch this run. And that's all he has to say is you're not a small back. Maybe you're not a big power back like Peyton, but you can still put your head and shoulders down and initiate contact and try to power through some of those tackles.
You know who Ronald Jones told me his 2 favorite running backs of all time in the NFL are? Do you remember that from the training camp diary? Anybody?
Chris Johnson and
Nelly for the longest yard.
And Jamal Charles.
Yes. 2 smaller, speedy, bursty kind of backs, very fast guys, who weren't known as, put your head down and drive through the pile.
Right.
But there were holes. And he wants to be able to get to that second level without getting touched, and that's just not easy to do in the NFL. That's very – it just doesn't happen very often. You've got to create your way to that. Then when you get to the second level, then you can use some of your shiftiness and elusiveness.
I think the problem is this practice environment is doing Ronald Jones no favors because there's no wrapping up.
That's what I was about to say.
Go
if
for it.
I am Dirk Cutter, Ronald Jones is the only running back playing the last 2 games.
Agreed.
I'm literally giving Rojo 15 carries at a minimum.
Yeah.
He's playing the entire game.
Agreed.
Because right now,
he's got to figure this out.
Because here's the thing. What's the thing? You don't want to play running backs, whatever, because they get hurt. You want the other guys to get experience, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, well, let's look at the Buccaneers room. Peyton Barber is a good version of Peyton Barber right now. It's not like he's getting better with preseason carries.
Right.
Peyton Barber's Peyton Barber. Jacquizz Rodgers is a veteran.
Yep.
He's as good as he's going to get.
Yep.
Charles Sims got hurt, so there's a little bit different there. Sean Wilson and Dare from Wisconsin
Ogunwale.
Ogunwale, I think is how you say his last name. I don't know.
It was Boogie Boogie.
Those guys, you can make an argument for them getting carries, but Ronald Jones right now as a back is no more effective than if he wasn't available in for a game.
Exactly. That is one of the best points you've ever made. Right now, he is a less than 1 yard per carry running back.
You're not playing him.
Exactly.
So if you don't get him on the field
and
get him carries, he is as valuable as if he were, and I hate to actually put it this way, but like if he was hurt, he's as valuable as he was. He's not doing you any good. You can't put him out there in a regular season game.
This guy,
are you going to trot this guy out in New Orleans?
This guy may be fourth on the depth chart. And this guy, if he's a undrafted free agent, isn't making this football team based
Ronald
on those
Jones.
First two games.
Yeah,
he's not.
Yeah, no question.
You know, they can't do it. You can't cut a second round.
No, he's not getting cut. Like
they're hoping, and that's what I put in the mailbag. They're hoping the light turns on, something happens,
they're saying,
something changes.
Some fans are saying the Jeremy McNichols thing, but Rojo's not getting cut.
Right.
He's not
exactly
getting cut.
But you're right. He has got to play and work through this stuff because
I would play him every carry.
What they're doing
every
in training camp right now is not doing him any favors because he is not he is not getting the work that he needs in camp, which is breaking through defensive linemen tackles and getting yards.
Why aren't they running inside tough drills or goal line situations? I understand.
Because Dirk Cutter's only getting hurt. That's why.
Well, guess what? How many people are out right now not doing anything?
A ton.
It happens. It's football. People are going to get hurt. I'd much rather be physical and more
prepared. Well, speaking of which, Bo Allen went out today, defensive tackle, and he is the third defensive tackle on this team to get injured. We haven't seen Vita Vea since the very first day of full pads in training camp. So this is his third week he's missing.
Vea really got hurt on the first day of pads, right?
First day of pads.
Early.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
First 11
Think
on 11.
Think about the amount of
snaps.
He
hasn't even played with pads on yet.
No.
Think about the amount of snaps that he's missed in the reps and practice. To mention game situations. Yeah. He is so far behind right now.
Got hurt. He's gone. Mitch Unrein has a concussion. Still in concussion protocol. Hasn't cleared that. So what you've seen.
If you're a veteran like Mitch Unrein, are you being
Mitch
like.
Mitch Unrein.
My head still hurts a little bit today, coach.
Maybe.
I'm good.
There's not really a reason to play him.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of.
But here's what we saw.
I'm not making light of a concussion.
We saw Will Golston at nose tackle today.
Did a pun?
He was a starting nose tackle.
Make light of a concussion because light hurts? All right, sorry.
And Jason Light. See, there's two things
we
could throw
there,
too.
There you go.
Will Golston at nose tackle. Again, we all lauded Jason Light for his draft and his free agency.
No.
You're right, I didn't.
No.
You're like, why didn't they get Derwin James? They're another defensive tackle.
It is. How many podcasts are we going to go in a row with mentioning the name Derwin James?
What have we done? What has this team done with Vita Vea? How is this team better right now with Vita Vea?
Because Vita Vea is going to be healthy by the time week one rolls around.
Maybe.
He will be.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty sure he will be.
I don't know. He's going to be healthy, and guess what else he's going to be?
They have him in bubble wrap 100%
right now. Unprepared to make any type of difference in this defense.
He's a nose
until
tackle,
maybe
right?
halfway
he's
through
just
the season.
He's just a space
maybe
here,
through
right?
halfway through the season before he's going to have
no, that's
any
what you
type
were saying
of
before
intact.
Practice. He's a nose tackle,
he is
right?
He's a nose tackle.
They're playing him,
he's a nose
they're
tackle.
Playing him a three-technique tackle. He is
then you're playing him out of position. Then you're playing him out of position until he shows
you
something.
All right.
350-pound guys are not three techniques.
When he gets back in the field, he'll show you something.
I hope so. I mean, look, I want him to succeed. I don't dislike him personally.
I think
I'm
you
just
do.
Saying. Could you imagine
I think you've got something
if you had a starting another starting
because
safety
he didn't go
to
Florida
team up
State.
With Justin Evans back there, a playmaker, a guy who I was reading about. They're using him at linebacker. They're using him inside, and they're using him as a true safety too. And their base
the
defense.
Chargers, Cook.
Well, send me to San Diego, Scott. It's like 78 degrees.
Not
I'm
San
all
Diego
about that.
Anymore, but
me and Trevor will fight
true.
For that assignment.
They are in Los Angeles now.
Yeah, so. Same thing. It's still 78 degrees, man.
Not really.
I'll take it.
A little smoggy.
That's all right. All right, so enough of the Vita Vea, Derwin James debate that I win. Trevor, by the way, you were beating me up about that earlier, but I think I remember seeing you on Twitter saying I also preferred – Who was the defensive tackle that you preferred, or the defensive lineman?
Nathan Shepard.
Yeah, Shepard and Derwin James. You had both of those guys rated ahead of Vita Vea. So
yep.
I'm not on
I
an
did.
Island all
I
by
did.
Myself here.
I did.
Okay.
I get what the Bucks and we kind of talked about this when they drafted
right.
him. Like I get what
I
the
understand.
Bucks are thinking, right? And
right.
I think you do too. It's
right.
just, one in one impact. I thought Nathan Shepard was better, and I that mean I thought Derwin James is better. So, like, again,
I too had a man crush on Nathan Shepard at the Senior Bowl.
These
for sure.
guys are, I don't know. It's just, I see what Jason was doing, and I also see why people are saying, like, oh, you're picking a complimentary pick. Mm-hmm. In the first round,
it's
you don't
almost,
do that.
It's almost
which I
a
get.
Luxury pick. You get,
right.
Your
it
first
was,
round pick
was,
can't be a luxury guy, was. In my opinion. Or if you're on the hot seat like he and Jay and Dirk Cutter are, why are you drafting a guy that you're wanting to be this effective guy 2 or 3 years
Hold
down
on,
the road?
Whoa. They got contract extensions, or at least Jason did. Dirk's still under contract through 2020. Jason got a contract extension through 2019.
So you're telling me they're
not, safe.
So you're telling me 4 and 12, they're both safe.
Yeah, the Lakers don't fire people
exactly.
here.
Yeah, they don't ever fire anybody.
Talking
early,
about?
No. Oh. Are they still? They're probably still
very
paying
patient.
For
I got
Wayne
a Fab
Morris.
Five column for you to read,
huh?
If that's what you're saying.
What's that?
I got a Fab Five column for you to read. Actually, if
I thought they were very patient people. What happened?
Yeah. All right, so that's where we are with that situation now.
For the record, I think Ronald Jones is still a heck of a back. He's not running 10
we all do.
Year. It's just that. I agree wholeheartedly and endorse Trevor's platform of
play him
every down of the rest of the preseason games.
You know what? And if you're not going to play him, then you probably just let him go take his money and go buy a boat.
Okay.
If he was going to buy a boat.
Yeah. And maybe somebody gives him a boat or he buys a used boat. And if you buy a used boat, it's kind of like buying a used car. You don't just go out and say, hey, I'm going to go sailing or I'm going to go drive to Mexico in this new boat without getting it checked out first. Or you may end up like, you know, the Gilligan's Island somewhere on a 3-hour tour turns into 25 years on a deserted island. So if
Is that
I
how long they were gone for 25 years.
Yeah. And then the Harlem Globetrotters came.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right. You know, they had many opportunities to get off that island, but they weren't real smart. My favorite's when the World War II Japanese guy showed up in the submarine.
Yeah.
But anyway, thought it was still World War II and captured Skipper and Gilligan, was holding him as prisoner of war. But bottom line is,
if you need a World War II submarine,
if you have a World War II submarine and you've got some repairs you need to do on
it, service,
I'm taking it to T.A. Mahoney's guys.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm taking it. Because, first of all, T.A. Mahoney's has been around since, I don't know, 3 years after World War II ended in 1948. Businesses just don't last that long unless they're doing something right. T.A. Mahoney's has been doing things right, taking care of the Tampa Bay local community, small business, but one that has really blossomed and grown and is available online just as well, although they got a beautiful showroom over on 50th and Adamo. Go check out T.A. Mahoney's. Go see Matt. Go see Mike. Go see their son, Mark. Heck, their wife works in the office in the accounting department. It truly is a family-owned. Yeah, knock on the window and say, hey, thanks for supporting Pewter Report, Pewter Nation Podcast. That's T.A. Mahoney's. You can find them online, tamahoneyco.com. All right, that's it for today.
Wow.
No, it's not it yet.
I think it's like the halfway mark, right?
All right, let's talk a little bit about the game. And
all right, Jameis Winston, do you just give him the extension now, the 10-year extension now after that second quarter?
Yep, it's at $30 million a year.
You know, might as well just lock it up. Lock it up right there.
Guys,
all you needed to see.
That guy, it's impressive. That was an impressive performance. So that might have been the best 15 minutes of football we've ever seen out of Jameis Winston.
You know what? Contrast what we've seen from Jameis, not just in that game, but also in the Dolphins game where he was lights out in that too. He's having a fantastic preseason altogether. But what a contrast from the first two practices of training camp, right? When this guy looked unenthused, uninspired, lackluster out there, really having to adjust to the role of, hey, I'm not the starter anymore. Mm-hmm. Dirk Cutter wants me to kind of lead from behind. I mean, he has
– people don't love me anymore.
He has just embraced this new role. And that is yesterday's news.
Could this
because
be
this guy
the
is
best thing
fire
that's
right
happened
now.
To Jameis Winston? Could this be a blessing in disguise potentially to this
it
guy?
It could. Only time will tell. But certainly the results from this approach. And I think Dirk Cutter – listen, we've been critical of Dirk. And, I mean, last year, 5-11.
Not me, just
well,
you.
Okay, then I have. I'll take that bullet.
You call for him to be fired and Mike Smith take his job?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, not yet.
Are you going to go with Mike Smith or are you going to go with the linebackers coach?
Skylar Fulton, yeah.
Yeah.
Skylar Fulton
he's got
or Mark
Schefner? Skylar Fulton. Yeah.
I do have a crush on Skylar Fulton.
It was fun to, in Nashville, watch him be as vocal as he was.
Skylar's legit. He is a legit. He was,
I sometimes think he's Mike
him.
Evans, not dressed
no,
out.
No,
I,
yeah, he looks
the first
like Mike
day
Evans
he was out there.
Yeah.
No, actually, not even this year. last year, right, when he was the assistant wide receivers coach,
yeah,
he was out at training camp practices. He was always like one of the first ones out there.
Yeah.
And I remember taking a picture of him and tweeting Mike Evans
is
the first one, like first one out, but it doesn't appear he's practicing today. And it was Skyler. I remember doing that. Because it looks so much.
If you haven't read the Fab Five on Friday, I wrote about Skylar Fulton and how the receiver room just loves this guy. And as an old-timer who's covered this team for over two decades, listen, there have been some really, really good dynamic coaches that have come through here. I named a couple in the column. Mike
Richard
Tomlin.
Williamson.
No, not Richard Williamson.
He was actually a very good receivers coach,
yeah,
by the way. He went to Carolina
after. He didn't really
have
the energy and the charisma that Skylar Fulton brings
to
the
table. And he's dead now.
Is he?
Yeah, he died.
But Mike Tomlin, former defensive backs coach. Raheem Morris, former defensive backs coach.
Yep.
P.J. Fleck, who was here for a cup
never
of coffee
of
for 1 year under Greg Schiano as the receivers coach. Those three guys went on to become head coaches in relatively short order. And I think that Skylar Fulton, you know, he's got to be an offensive coordinator, I think, first. But he has the charisma, the energy, and I think you're seeing not just – a great camp, and you were there to witness it firsthand, Trevor, how those receivers dominated the defensive backs up there in Tennessee. Not just Deshaun and Mike and Chris Godwin, but the guys we're seeing show up at the end of the depth chart, the Sergio Baileys.
And he's hyped for all
of them. The Justin Watson.
Like, he gets hyped up for all of them. And
yeah.
I was talking to some people today at training camp, and we were kind of talking about some Skylar Fulton stuff, and they were like, I thought Malcolm Butler was legit going to fight Skylar Fulton because there were a couple of times where obviously, like, we saw the clip that I posted where Mike catches the touchdown.
Talk to him,
on
Mike.
And
talk
he just yelled, talk to him, Mike. Tell him. Tell him, like, and he's like, at least he was in the picture that time because the day before, Malcolm got absolutely burned by Mike Evans. And so, like, and there was actually a point where Adoree Jackson, who's one of the corners on the Titans, walks over to Skylar Fulton and. And I think he says to him something along the lines of, like, man, you don't got to be running your mouth like that. And Skylar kind of like – and Adoree's smiling a little bit, and Skylar kind of smiles back at him. He's like, hey, man, I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just trying to hype my guys up. And Adoree's just like, yeah, man, no, I get it. You're fine.
Yeah.
Well, but that's surprising that Tennessee wouldn't be hyped up with their charismatic quarterback they have.
Oh, wow.
No? Number eight,
he just,
Mr.
You
Energy.
Saw
hey
a
guys,
small
listen.
Crack in the door.
Hey, let's go out there and really take it to him.
To get on Marcus Mariota, and you just straight up drop kick that door.
Not a fan. Not a fan. Either. Not a fan. And again,
your
not
tweet
to say
got
the
plenty of action on
which one?
The one during the game where you
oh,
said,
"Oh yeah, it's true."
Take Jameis Winston over.
I would.
With all the baggage.
Yep.
With all the baggage.
With all the baggage.
I'm gambling.
Every day of the week, and especially on game days.
Look at what Mariota
did.
Both of Mariota.
I think the Tampa Bay Times might take the other guy.
Though. Yeah.
Hold on. I want to say something here because I talked about this a little bit with some of the people that were in the Tennessee Titans media room.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Mariota, what your thoughts were on him, watching him up close in practice. Like
okay.
That.
We asked Winston, the Tampa Bay media, after the first day of practice, like, hey, have you had a chance to talk to Marcus at all? Have you guys had any interaction? And Jameis basically just said, no. Like, that's it.
Right.
And you guys know Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is, like, outgoing
right.
and friendly and, hey, what's up? Handshakes, hugs to basically everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time he's ever been asked about Marcus Mariota,
yeah.
he's as short as can be.
Going back to the combine, even before they were drafted.
Yep.
He is as short as can be. And somebody in the Titans media room went, I wonder if he still holds on to that Oregon game.
Of course
absolutely.
He does. You're damn
absolutely.
Right he does.
And
it's
then
the
that
only
first,
game he lost in college.
I know.
And then that first game here as an NFL where Tennessee
every,
took it to him.
Every single – but he doesn't even play against Mariota is the thing.
Right.
It's not like a corner. Yeah. But every single time I've ever – because that question's asked all the time.
Of
it's going to be – they're going to be linked forever. Every time you ask him about it, like, hey, have you talked to Marcus Mariota? Jameis just gets as serious as can be and just goes – no, I mean, I know he's a good football player, and
he says the right thing.
Yeah, and then like he goes on and says the cliche, like, you know, we went to both of our teams and we're just trying to help each other's teams, and that's it. But like he constantly gets asked, "Do you talk to Marcus? Have you ever talked to Marcus?
They're not
anything,
losing buddies or
nothing,
best friends or whatever.
Nothing.
Right.
He is as short as can be when he talks about Marcus.
When you ask him about Tom Brady, you hear his eyes.
Oh
light
my
up.
Goodness, Aaron Rodgers.
I think there's respect
and
there for Mariota. I think he respects him, but I don't think he likes him.
No.
Trevor, tell me, how did Mariota look, or Mariota, whatever you want to say, how did he look when you saw him up close in practice in those drills? I mean, do you see this guy with the potential to be a franchise quarterback with the tools and stuff like that?
I think he's good, but it's hard to get a room full of grown men who play a violent, fast game to all rally around you if you don't get hyped, like, at some point.
Yeah.
Like, even Drew Brees, right, is a guy who, like, leads by example, but he still does
sure.
that pregame thing right. where he gets everybody hyped up.
Yep.
You know, like, and so even something little like that, guys around him know, yo, Drew's got our back. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, Drew's our guy.
Right.
I don't cover the Titans. So I don't see everything. Perhaps I've missed stuff. But, you know, Mariota, I think, is a good quarterback, and he's a smart quarterback, and he's fine. But I don't know. They can say all they want. Well, Marcus is our guy. He's our mm-hmm. quarterback. He's our leader. He's the leader. But, like, being a quarterback, you have to be a leader. Like, you have yeah. to say that.
I don't know how much they really believe that. Like, he reminds me a lot of Eli Manning, who's very soft-spoken and not really...
Eli's won two Super Bowls, so that's the difference.
Exactly. But up there, he had Tiki Barber. He's got OBJ. There were other louder voices in the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
And who's that guy in Tennessee?
No one.
There's no one. Right, exactly.
Corey Davis is their best wide receiver, and he's basically a rookie.
He hasn't done anything yet.
And Derrick exactly. Henry is their best running back. And again, like, he's a second-year guy. He's not a super vocal
exactly.
dude.
Exactly.
Delaney Walker, probably
the guy.
Yeah, he's a tight end, you know what yeah. I'm saying? And so I guess Taylor Lewan, but
yep.
you don't really want your offensive tackle being the one doing all the – main talking,
you're exactly
so
right.
I don't know.
That I think is the knock, and I think that he is going to have somebody with a strong presence in that huddle, because he's never going to be that energy guy, that guy that's going to bring the energy to lift everybody up.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm the Titans, I'm taking Marcus Mariota, and I'm trying to lift his spirits, trying to get him hyped up, and I'm probably going to take him and, you know, what's that favorite burger you like?
High octane burger.
Maybe if Marcus Mariota had a high octane burger at Ford's Garage, maybe his whole personality changes.
It'd light a fire in him.
Well,
you know?
And maybe if he had, like, a cool, refreshing beer to wash that down with, maybe he would, like, loosen up a little bit.
Yeah,
and
that's
get a little bit
needs.
More talkative.
That's what he needs. He needs a high octane
so what
burger
you're saying
and a beer
is that
from Ford's
he
Garage.
He needs to get hammered at Ford's Garage before every Titans game.
Well,
it Johnny Manziel style.
No, not Johnny Manziel style. Not
like
certainly
Joe
that
Namath
bad.
Style.
not even Joe Namath style.
Right.
George Blanda with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth style. No, we need the Titans to go to Ford's Garage, and we need our readers to go to Ford's Garage, because there's really no excuse not to, because it doesn't matter where you are. Virtually anywhere in the world, there's a Ford's Garage within 50 miles of you.
Yeah. Really?
Not quite, but they're working that way towards
that up,
there.
But it might be true.
It might be true.
But
yeah,
in the Tampa Bay area, you're within 25 miles of a Ford's Garage. If you're in the metro Tampa Bay area, you're within 25 miles of a Ford's Garage. So there's really no excuse not to go. They've got an amazing menu. People think, oh, Ford's Garage, it's just a beer place. They got garages and Fords. And you know what? They do have Fords hanging all over the place. If you're a classic car guy, just for the ambiance, go to Ford's Garage.
It is a cool place.
It's a cool setup for sure. And I'm a Chevy guy, and I even like to go.
They've got burgers there. We know that. But there are some other things that are on the menu that you like. That aren't just burgers.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing is the blackened salmon. And they put the Ford sauce on it, which is like a lemon butter garlic type sauce. I have that over mashed potatoes and the asparagus, and it's just an amazing meal.
I love the burgers
grilled to perfection.
But when I'm looking for that something that's a little bit different there, I get their mac and cheese is tremendous, but then they put some pulled pork on top of it.
Well,
and it becomes a meal.
Or the lobster mac and cheese. They've got three or four different varieties of mac and cheese. So if you're a mac and cheese person, Ford's Garage is the place to go. But mainly go there, and, you know, it's a great place to go watch football games this fall. If you're not a Buccaneer season ticket holder, there's TVs everywhere. They're going to have games on, all NFL games. They're going to have Monday Night Football. There's going to be drink specials, lots of different things going on at Ford's Garage. So definitely go check them out all over the Tampa Bay area. You can check them out at Ford's Garage.
USA.com.
You can find all the locations. You can see where they're going to be coming to soon in your location. We're going to be doing a live podcast from there coming up later this fall. We're actually going to be over at the Lakeland one with a Darius Taylor, formerly Glanton.
Very cool.
Who is a Lakeland resident, still lives over there, and he's going to be over there doing our live podcast.
Did he play for the Lakeland
Dreadnoughts? No, he was a Lake Gibson player, and I can't remember what they were.
Okay.
They weren't a Dreadnought. They weren't a Red Devil from Kathleen.
The Lake Gibson Lakers?
Braves. Braves, as a matter of fact. Right. Lake Gibson Braves. So he still lives over in the area. In fact, he drives back and forth every day. And he's going to be a guest at that. But we'll give you more details when that happens. And anyway, check him out. Ford's Garage, all over the Tampa Bay area. And if you just happen to be listening to this in Dearborn, Michigan, take your butt to the one up there, too, because they're waiting on you. Tell them that Pewter Report sent you. And thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Got a few minutes left to go on this show, guys. Looking ahead now, Buccaneers face the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Near Dearborn, Michigan.
So aside from 25 carries from Ronald Jones, what else do we want to see on Friday night?
Well, this is the game. Okay. This
run,
is,
him the run him into the ground.
This is the game where starters play the first half and probably first series into the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So this is the
dress
game,
rehearsal, as
this
they
is the
call
game
it.
That coaches hold their breath on the most, worrying about injuries.
Is this mean Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to get the entire first half, or are they still going to mix in Jameis Winston?
I think they've got to go with preparing for the first game of the season. I think you've got to stick to that script.
Okay.
Do you think Winston plays the entire first half of the fourth game? Or do you think Winston plays at all?
I don't think Winston plays at all.
I think he maybe starts and gets a series. Because they normally aren't going to play their offensive line.
So
but
you think
don't
it's just
going to
be the Austin Allen line. Show in the second half on that fourth game?
Well, Ryan Griffin / Austin Allen show, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to play Winston in the fourth preseason game.
So I was in the press box, and Austin Allen. Yeah, in Tennessee, sorry. And Austin Allen was one of the first guys out there. And this is before they put on their jerseys or anything, so it was just he had Buccaneer clothing on, but that was it. And he's throwing it to like an assistant. He's throwing the ball, 30, 35 yards or whatever, and he's hitting him pretty nice or whatever. And this guy who works for the Titans is next to me. He's like, holy cow, you see that Bucks like ops guy down there throwing that football? He's got an arm. And I literally look at him, I'm like, that's Austin Allen. He's a quarterback for the Buccaneers.
He's only 6 feet tall.
He's like, oh, wow. Well, he's good. It's good backup. I was like,
not
yeah,
really,
right.
though. If Austin Allen sees any time in the regular season.
Camp arm.
Yeah. He thought it was an ops guy trying to, like a free tryout or something, just getting out there. Oh, you want this ball here? Just let me back up a couple of feet.
Are you guys surprised that Allen hasn't got any snaps in these first two games?
He did. He was in there at the
end played,
of the game.
I guess he did get a couple of these.
Yeah, he played
games.
At the end
That's
of the game.
That's right. They took Fitzpatrick out.
But no, why would you?
I think I started writing my stories at
Griffin.
That point.
Griffin
I checked out when they took Griffin out.
The other Ryan.
Yeah, the other Ryan. I started writing my stories. I probably didn't watch the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game. But anyway, all right. So the Buccaneers take on Detroit. That's Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's a national televised game.
Preseason opener here in Tampa.
Is it a late game Friday night? I can't remember. Is it 8?
8, I believe, is the start time on that.
Unfortunately.
I forgot. Who's doing the broadcast on that?
I don't know.
Me and you.
Fox. Yeah, we might as well
Me and you are, yeah.
Is it CBS or is it Fox?
I think it's a CBS game.
No,
wait,
I think
no, it can't
no,
be
wait,
CBS
I'm
game
not on the schedule this
AFC.
Week. It's you and Uncle Stan.
Oh, boy. That would be actually an interesting broadcast.
Yeah, that would be.
For sure. Anyway, all right, so that's coming up Friday night. There's practice Tuesday, which is tomorrow because we're doing this podcast
Monday,
and there's practice on Wednesday.
The Titans, I just thought of this. The Titans do this thing. I don't know if they're still doing it this year, but they do this thing during the preseason. Where at the beginning
they marry
of,
their cousins?
No. At the beginning of every home preseason game, the first offensive play of the game is called by a fan. Like a fan wins a contest and gets to do it. Can you imagine if the Bucks had that?
Oh, they did. Under
they
Sam
did
Weiss.
Under Sam Weiss.
No, 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 no,
Sam
no.
Weiss.
I
they
mean
did.
Right now with like everything around Dirk Cutter and the guy calls the play and it goes for 6. Can you imagine the comments?
Hey,
I wish, man.
And that's another thing. We haven't figured this out yet, too. And maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more after the game on Friday night. But who's going to call plays? I mean, are we convinced it's going to be Dirk Cutter week one?
Yes.
I believe it is. But I wrote in my 2-point conversion that I think is a question right now. And the only reason I say that is, yes, I agree that in Dirk's mind right now, he's
so
calling
much more
plays.
Relaxed, though.
Exactly, he does. He looks more relaxed. He looks like he's more in tune to the game as a game manager.
That's not even me trying to take a shot at like him being a play caller. He just looks more involved.
Right.
Like,
and I even wrote, I said, this is, we're not knocking Dirk Koetter because ultimately this is his idea. So
right,
he gets full
right,
credit
right,
for giving
right.
Todd Monken
yep.
the reins.
Yep.
All right. So this is not shortchanging Dirk by any means. But I just wonder, we know coaches are superstitious. And you have to wonder that if they really come out and continue this 26, 30 point per game assault in the preseason, getting over 350 yards of offense, if this continues into Detroit and they wax the Lions on Friday night, you have to wonder if Dirk doesn't give more credence to the idea that Monken continues.
Because at that point, it's mostly the first team that's playing, so
yes.
it's not like a it's just a preseason thing.
Exactly,
like, it's almost a mock game-ish.
Sure.
So
essentially, Dirk Koetter saying, everyone, all 90 guys need practice, but me, the play caller, I don't need any practice. I'm just going to pick it up week one and be in a rhythm.
Here's
and
the Pandora box that gets opened.
Riding a bike
is if Todd Monken and this offense comes out clicking. Let's say they roll up 400 yards, they score 27, 28
this
points.
This week, you mean?
This week.
Okay.
Now, I'm throwing out the last preseason game because that's the Austin Allen show and
yeah.
all that stuff. But for 3 weeks, the offense has been clicking. Doesn't it put more pressure on Dirk Koetter in week one?
100%.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's
okay.
why I think there's a chance that the Monken's –
this is a ploy, Mark.
By Koetter, number one, if he decided to turn the play calling
over.
He's
buying himself a mulligan
He does, and he wouldn't announce it anyway to us because
right.
we'd ask questions about it every day, and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yep.
So – I think there's a chance that it is Todd Monken. And at the very least, this guy, they're going to be combining. They're going to be in each other's ear. And you know that Dirk is listening to every play call and probably saying,
no,
want to try this,
Yeah, he's directing the show.
Right.
It's a combined game plan. That's something that Koetter said. So it's not like it's,
But
Monken is calling the plays, and that's good on him. But the game plan is still
a
collaborative effort.
If the offense comes out and just craps the bed
yeah.
in week one
yeah.
under his play calling, and they get 10 points
right.
and they lose to the Saints, all of a sudden that becomes an issue now. Whereas if Monken does it and that happens, well, maybe Koetter can save the day in week two or week three by taking back those play calling duties, right? I mean, there's always that safety net, that mulligan that he's buying himself. But
it works the opposite way. Monken does great in the preseason. Dirk picks up week one and they score 10 points. Then people are like,
that's
holy crap. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm of the belief that if all things are going well in the third preseason game, that I think that Monken gets to continue in that role. And I think he deserves it, too.
Well, problem is he's never really been a proven play caller anywhere he's been.
Southern Miss, they put up a crap ton of points.
Oh yeah, but if not at Oklahoma State, he wasn't very good there, right?
There too, yeah, hell yeah,
Never mind. So there goes that argument. No, seriously, I mean, the guy scores a lot of points as a play caller. He's a very good offensive mind. But anyway, we're not telling Dirk Koetter what to do. He's a genius.
Well, I think he's made the right call here. I really do. I think he's made the right call. He gets full credit for it, and it's no knock on him.
Let me ask you a question though.
Offense,
I know we got to go, but if he's planning on taking back over in week one, what the hell is the point of Monken even doing it at all? Really, what is he gaining by allowing Todd Monken the opportunity to run this offense?
Two things. I think, first of all, he gives Monken the opportunity, and they're good friends. They've coached together for years, okay? So it's giving him the opportunity to say, hey, if the grass is greener, if you want a head coaching job in college or in the NFL, whatever, at least you can say, hey, here's some film where I was calling the plays, not my boss. And then I think that the second element of it is he actually knows what Todd Monken can do now, because instead of wondering about it or saying, well, yeah, you did that at Oklahoma State, you did this at Southern Miss, you actually have some games of which you can go back and say, yeah, they were preseason games, but yes, he did call plays and was successful doing it. So that box has been opened, that door has been opened, and now he knows what's inside.
I think I hope that he allows Monken to continue to do it into the regular season. I do
Unless
worry
Monken
a little bit about –
Unless Monken craps the bed on Friday night.
Well, and again, how do you – is he going to crap the bed as a play caller, or the player is going to crap the bed as players more so? I mean, and you could take a look at Dirk and say that was the case last year. I mean, I think, Trevor's done enough study and his cover threes, and we've all kind of looked at the red zone offense last year with Dirk calling the plays and the mistakes that were made. that there could have been better opportunities. But ultimately, you know, chicken versus the egg. I mean, what comes first? I mean, you've got to have the right scheme, but the players still have to execute it as well.
Yep.
So you could argue back and forth on that as well, too. So we'll see. But Dirk probably goes down with the ship because he is on the hot seat. And we saw that with Lovie Smith, who took over for Leslie Frazier late because he didn't want to, you know, he's like, hell, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down making the play calls for the defense. And then he actually went down. It got worse than
he did
with Frazier. But anyway, all right, that's enough for today. Today is Monday. We appreciate everybody listening. Buccaneers practice again on Tuesday. Wednesday is the last open practice. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, go to the Buccaneer website so you can come out to the last open training camp practice. That's going to be on Wednesday. Players are off on Thursday. Then the game is Friday night. And there'll be another Pewter Nation podcast following that game, hopefully with some more good news. Somebody asked me the other day, is like, are you excited the Buccaneers are 2-0? They're not 2-0. I saw this team in 1983 go 4-0 in the preseason.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 83, yeah, they were 2-14.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. Preseason is what it is. You like to see certain situation things happen, and you see guys improve. But as far as, you know, counting or mattering, it doesn't matter at all. But anyway, we'll see what happens on Friday night. Hopefully the good fortunes continue, particularly on the offense. And we'd like to see the defense wake up a little bit earlier.
True.
They seem to be
kind of
dragging ass a little bit in that first quarter.
It'll be different. They're at home.
Yeah.
And on Friday, make this a point to bring up in the podcast.
No.
Was there any pass rush? Because there hasn't been a whole lot of pass rush.
Correct.
Last year, Scott brought up the fact that this team didn't get a lot of sacks with their defensive line in the preseason to continue through the season. There hasn't been a ton of that this year either with that first line. So we'll see what happens. I think the players will be a little bit more amped and juiced up. Number one, it's on national TV. Number two, it's that, you know, dress rehearsal for the regular season. So anyway, four. Trevor Sickleman, Scott Reynolds. I'm Mark Cook saying we'll see you Friday with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.